Don't sit down yet. Grab the hand of the person next to you, look at them right in the eyeball and say, man, are you cute? Tell them that. I dare you. Say, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible with you, hold it up in the air. Hold it up in the air. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Heaven and earth will pass away. This word will never pass away. I can take it to the bank. I can build my family on it. I can stake my life on it. The devil's a liar. God's word is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you can be seated. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you, and I apologize that my wife's not able to be here. My wife has a little side business of doing cakes, and it's taken off, and so she is delivering a wedding cake this morning. And you know, those things, you also can't mess up on those things, so I apologize, and she'll... Man, she makes some unbelievable cakes. She made a cake on Food TV on a little contest. She came in second place, and it's a frog prince. You should see that cake. It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Well, let me share with you out of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul says, referring to Christ, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. There was a funeral a number of years ago, and an elderly woman had lost her husband, and she was just stricken with grief and came to the funeral home where they were doing the funeral in the funeral home, and she noticed that her husband, who was in parlor A, had the man's suit on who was in parlor B. And her husband's suit in parlor A was on the man in parlor B. I mean, to add to her grief, imagine this mistake. So she said, oh my goodness, this can't be. And so she called for the funeral director and she said, oh my God, there's been a terrible mistake. She said, the man in parlor B's suit is on my husband in parlor A. And my husband's suit's on the man in parlor B. He said, well, we'll take care of that right away for you. And so he called Igor. You know, hey, Igor, come here. Go switch their heads. Go switch their heads. How many know that's not going to work? There is something that is seriously out of place in the body of Christ today. And that is the head. Notice with me, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him, Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then we see in the book of Colossians chapter 2, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen, and they are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Anybody ever meet one of them? I had a guy come up to me one time, and he said, you're Dennis Heber, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, My wife goes to your church. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, no, praise the Lord. He goes, she's crazy. I said, I think I know her. Then he talked about all her extreme ways and how she goes to church every night. She goes down there to your church every single night. Never has any time for me, and just talked about all these things she's involved in. I said, well, we only have church once a week. You know, sometimes we mistake spirituality for beam me up, Scotty. And notice here that there are some people who are not spiritually minded, they're high-minded. That's what it says. It says they're puffed up. And they get involved in things they know nothing about, intruding into areas that they've never been informed about. Notice what it says in the next verse. They have lost connection with the head. They've lost connection with the head. One of the questions I want to ask myself is, Christ truly my head? You know, you can be in a body, you can have a body, and still be headless. Did you ever see a chicken with its head cut off? Anybody ever see a chicken that got butchered? You raise chickens, you know. You cut their heads off and they run aimlessly. It's hilarious. They run over here, then they'll run over here, and their nerve endings are still alive, and they're just moving and moving, and eventually they'll kick over and die. And sometimes that's exactly what God's people look like. They're running over here, and they're running over here, and they're running over here because they don't have a head. Can you imagine not having a head? Now, Ephesians 4 teaches us that the whole body depends upon the head. If the head is impaired, so is the body. Now, I want to speak this morning on this subject, the headship of Christ. The headship of Christ. And I want to look at four areas, four functions to a head. Four things that a head will do for you. And here they are. Number one, it is through your brain and through your head that you receive information. Secondly, that you make decisions. Thirdly, that all action is initiated. And finally, it's a coordination of all the activities. All of those things happen because of your head. And those same things will happen when Christ is your head. Notice with me, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body. And he is the head of the body. But that's not all he is. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So, the first function of a head is to receive information. As a believer, we should receive our primary source of information from the head. Now, the head is Christ. The Word is Christ. Jesus said that. He said, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifest in the Son. And so I want to live my life connected to the head, and I'm going to do that by living my life through the Word of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, right? So I'm going to want to function under the control of the Holy Spirit. So when I'm living my life by the Word of God, under the control of the Holy Spirit, I am connected to the head. Amen. Now, before you think that's really easy to do, we have this group now called Millennials. And here's my biggest problem with Millennials. First of all, I love them. Let me make that very, very clear. And I'm not speaking for all Millennials, not even close. But perhaps a majority of Millennials, Millennial Christians, do not believe the Bible is God's Word. They do not believe the Bible is God's Word. They're a believer in love. We love everything. We love everybody. And so where the Bible might appear to be convicting, well, we don't necessarily believe that is for everyone. And so what's happened with our Millennials is they've lost connection to the head. Another common belief among Millennials is that you do not have to go to local church to be a Christian. While that's in essence true, if you are an abiding Christian, you will go to local church because you will be obedient to the Word of God. Now, hey, if we're going to do what we feel like, well, I'm not going to go to church either, because I've been hurt there more than once. But I don't go to church because I was hurt or might be hurt. I go to church because it's what God's Word tells me to do. Don't forsake it, the Bible says. See how easily you can get disconnected from your head? And you can receive information and philosophies and ideas that are not Christ-like. That are not Christ-like. Talked about they're puffed up. Space cadets. I remember when I first got saved, I was a part of a red-hot church that had unbelievable revival in it. It was amazing. Did you ever go to Brother Beatty's church? Place was unbelievable. And so there were three women in that church that whenever the worship would start, they would start shaking. And they would just shake and shake. And, oh man, I thought they were so spiritual. I remember asking the Lord, "Lord, help me shake like they shake." I mean, I'd pray all day, "Lord, when the service starts tonight, I pray I can shake." And so the service would start and the worship, and they would, and they would just start shaking. And I got nothing. I said, "I think I'm backslidden." You know what I mean? So I'm getting born again, you know, every week. And I'm like, "Lord, I want to shake like they shake." I never did shake. Now, before you get down on them, you know where the name Shaker Heights got its name from? Yeah. From the Shakers. Well, that's a true story. Yeah. The Shakers, it was a religious group that shook. So I said, "Lord, help me to shake." I never did shake. And I thought there was something deficient in me because I couldn't shake like they shook. And then as I began to grow in the Lord, I begin to notice that these were the three most carnal people in the church. They were busybodies, they were gossips, they were into everybody's business. They thought they were super spiritual. They were prophesying in basements. You know, I mean, all this stuff you're not supposed to do. And then I learned a lesson. It's not how much you move around, how high you jump, or how bad you shake. You can shake and still go to hell. Did you know that? It's called shake and bake. Isn't that right? I told that whole story to get that one out there. You know what I mean? Puffed up. Puffed up. You know, when you are connected to the head, you feel it. And you feel what is going on in God's head. It's called sensitivity. I was in Lake Milton, Ohio, right outside of Youngstown, preaching in the Lake Milton Assembly of God. And I took a preacher friend of mine, a younger guy in the ministry than me. He's a little older than I am, but he's a younger guy in the ministry at the time. You may know him. His name was Pastor Ron Miller. Did you ever hear that guy? And so we go to this church in Lake Milton, Ohio. Beautiful church. A friend of mine had pastored a church for many years in Strongsville, Ohio, and he got transferred to this church because the previous pastor had died. So this is my first time there. I'm in the office with Ron and the pastor, and he had to do some duties, so he left us alone, and we were just praying in the office, and I'm kind of trying to pray and also study and, you know, get my mind together what I'm going to say. And Pastor Ron says, "Something happened in this room." I said, "What?" He goes, "Something tragic happened in this room. There's a darkness in this room. I can feel it." So I'm like, "You know, I don't feel nothing." You know what I mean? He goes, "Something happened. Something tragic happened in this room, in this office." So I'm like, "Well, I don't know." So we prayed a little bit, and I'm still trying to, you know, get my thoughts together. And, you know, you're speaking to a new audience. You got to get this thing right, or they're going to leave you in the first 5 minutes. And so I went and preached, and we had a great time. And then afterwards, we went to dinner with the pastor, just three of us. And he said, "Yeah, I didn't tell you guys what had happened." But he said, "The previous pastor didn't just die. He shot himself in his office." In the very room that Pastor Ron felt this darkness. And it led us to really speak into this current pastor that he be careful about the pressures and to take authority in that office. And it wasn't long until the enemy really drove that guy out of that church. And he left the ministry. I say all that to say, when you're connected to the head, you feel it. You feel it. Notice with me, if you will, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. God says he's going to raise up in the last days sons of Zion against the sons of Greece. Now, what does that mean? What the wild, wild word of sports does that mean? Well, Zion is symbolic of the city of God. Greece is the birthplace of humanism. Greece is the birthplace of humanism. Think about this. All the notorious man-made religions are man-centered. Islam, man-centered. Judaism is works, man-centered. psychology. Much of it is very man-centered. God says, hey, you can put on the man hat or head, or you can be connected to mine. You can think my thoughts, or you can think man's thoughts. It's really up to you. Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Carl Rogers said, the solution to man's problems lie within himself. Is that true? He further goes on to say, men in sin must be accepted, not admonished. No wonder why men don't get out of sin. Sigmund Freud said, religion belongs to the infancy of the race. Man needs to grow up out of infancy, and that means growing up out of religion. He said, religion was invented to fulfill man's needs. Once man comes of age, he no longer needs religion. Sounds like a man who's getting his thoughts and his ideas and his information from a wrong head. From the wrong head. The second function of a head is to make decisions. And we use the same verse here in Romans chapter 11. For him and through him and to him are all things. I think making decisions, making godly decisions, is a thing that most Christians struggle with the most. And it's all about this one word, control. And who controls my life? Am I in control? Really? How's that working for you? There were two men. Their names were Joseph and Matthias. Anybody know who they are? Joseph and Matthias. They were two men in Acts 1 who were chosen to succeed Judas, who was one of the 12. Of course, we know Judas committed suicide. And so the church prayed. They said, oh God, who should we get to replace Judas Iscariot? And so they came up with these two men because they said, it's got to be an eyewitness. The other 11 were all eyewitnesses. So we conclude that the next disciple or apostle has to be an eyewitness. And Joseph and Matthias were eyewitnesses. Now, they didn't need two. They only needed one. So they said, we can't tell which of the two of these is God's will. So here's what they did. It says in verse 25 of Acts 1, show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas the traitor, who has gone to his proper place. Isn't that interesting? You could preach an hour on that. Verse 26. Then they flipped a coin. And this is the manner Matthias was chosen and became the apostle with the other 11. Now let me tell you something. You never hear, ever, from or about Matthias from this point on. Never. Now, the other apostles, they're going to have names in heaven on walls and gates, but you'll never see the name Matthias on any gate in heaven. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a good man. Here's what I believe. You know, I may not be able to prove it, but you can't disprove it. Here's what I believe. The replacement for Judas Iscariot was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, who said, I was an apostle born out of season. Now, why do I tell this whole story? Because we're like the early church when we start thinking with our own head and not Christ's head. Here's what we do. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. I gotta make a decision. All right, Lord, your will is one of these two things. Which is it, Lord? Lord, you're not saying nothing. Okay, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to flip a coin. Or how about this one? Lord, speak to me through your word. You know, you heard about the one guy. He put his hand down there and said, Judas went out and hung himself. And I went down, he turned the page, went down there. Next verse says, what you're going to do, go do it quickly. Go down and do likewise. You know what I mean? You know, that's how we do. We say, Lord, I'm obviously I got to do one of these two things. You know, there's all these churches that I preach in now. And it's funny how cultures change. And they're all on what they call congregational themes. And we do them for the year. And the pastors always say, you know, we met with our staff. And we prayed and we sought God for the will of God for this year. What shall be our congregational, our pulpit theme? And then I'll go and I'll ask the staff, because I know them. Hey, did you ever get involved with that? No, they never even told me about it. And, you know, they think it's a great idea. No, they're doing is copying what everybody else is doing. I'm not saying it's not a good idea, but let's not say this is God's idea. Boy, it's getting loud in this Presbyterian church. The third thing that happens as a result of a head is that it initiates action. Notice that it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Isn't it something? We can minister to the Lord. Isn't that something? You wouldn't think he needs ministry. And he probably doesn't, but he sure loves it. He sure loves when we minister to him, when we worship and pray and seek his face. He just loves that. He loves it. Some of the greatest answers to prayer I've ever had have been when I've been a little ticked off. I think the Father loves it when we get a little ticked off. And we pray his word a little mad. Wow. Did you ever pray a mad prayer? Notice here, the key word here is initiates. Initiative. Who is initiating action in your life? Where are you getting your information from? How are you making your decisions? And who is initiating your action? Did you ever just feel you lack motivation to do something? And you know, we always assume it's just because we don't have motivation. Could it be we're not motivated because he hasn't initiated what we're thinking about doing? I have a friend of mine who had pastored for many, many years, and he did something else for a while, and he's been thinking for the last couple years of starting a church. And so he comes to me quite often for my counsel, and I every time I pray for him, I sense that this is not the time to do this. And he'll always say to me, he goes, I don't know. He goes, I feel ashamed, but I just don't have the motivation to do this. Well, could it be that this is not the right time to do this? And the reason you don't have motivation is because you're entirely connected to the head, and he's not initiating the action. Sometimes we look at roadblocks. We think they're roadblocks. We think they're things in the way. Could it be that it's only because God has not initiated the thing yet. And then, other times, you feel that motivation. You feel a prompting. I remember one day I was out cutting my grass, and I get a phone call from a friend of mine, and she says, hey, I've got a friend in the hospital who's on her deathbed, and could you go pray for her? So I said, sure. As soon as I finish the lawn here, I'll shower, and I'll get over there to the hospital. So I went back out to cut the grass, and the Holy Spirit said to me, go now. So I said, all right. So I went to take a shower, and the Holy Spirit said, go now. And I mean, I'm pouring down with sweat. I'm in shorts. And I thought, no, at least I'm going to put some, you know, regular clothes on. The Holy Spirit said, go now, immediately. And I went in that hospital room and prayed for that woman. It was a Jewish woman. Wealthy woman. In fact, if I said her last name, everybody in this room has heard her last name. And I led that woman to Jesus Christ. And no sooner than I said amen, and she said amen, that she slipped off into eternity and died right in front of me. I'm so glad I didn't take a shower. I'm so glad I didn't change my clothes. And almost daily, I'm not going to say the name, but almost daily on the radio, you'll hear a jingle with this woman's name about her company. I tell you, when you're connected with the head, it's amazing the things he'll tell you to do. We used to live in a double house with an elderly couple, and they were a godly couple, and the rent was so cheap. I raised my own rent 6 times. Because they wouldn't do it. I said, well, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. I just kept giving them more money than they were asking because it was ridiculous what they were charging us. I said, well, all we want to do is pay our taxes. That's all we want to do. I said, well, this isn't right. And I used to cut their grass. I did everything. Then the husband died in my arms, died of a heart attack in my arms. And so we were in the house with this widow for several years. And then finally, we bought our first house. And she was so upset that we left. We bought our first house. And then she rented out the bottom to a tenant. Probably didn't charge them very much either. Well, then she got up there in age. And so she had to move into a kind of an assisted living type of home. It wasn't not a nursing home, but it was a kind of a condo that was assisted living. And so she had worked out all the details. You can't make too much money, and you can't, you know, they're really tight. It's government controlled. And so she had sold all of her furniture, and it was the day before she was moving, and she calls me on the phone, and she says, Brother Heber, something terrible has happened. I go, what? She goes, the guy I sold the house to, and she had been paying him rent for several months, she said, he said he forgot to tell me that 3 months ago he raised the rent. And he wanted $300 a month for 3 months. And so she goes, I gave him my last $900. I don't have any more money. I go, he did what? She said, yeah. I go, what's his telephone number? I said, I'm gonna call my lawyer. I'm going to sue him. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sue that. She said, no. She said, don't do that. I go, what do you mean don't do that? I go, this is wrong. He can't raise your rent after you've been there for 3 months. And she said, no. She said, I talked to my pastor. I said, well, what did your pastor say? He said, just to pray about it. Pray about it. Now, I'm all for praying about it, but there's a time to pray and there's a time to sue. She would not give me that guy's number. Oh. So then, she calls me about 2 hours later, She says, something worse has happened. I go, what? She goes, the home that I'm moving to, they called and they said there's been a terrible error. And she said, they said, I make too much money and I can't come. I said, what? I said, give me their money. I'll sue them too. So I called them and I said, Reverend Heber, we are so sorry about this. She goes, but we can't control these things. She goes, there was an error made. And she said, she makes too much money. She goes, if she had some other bill that would be about $300 a month that she could show for 3 months, then we would accept that. I said, you're not going to believe this story. So I told her what this rascal did. She said, you think he'll sign an affidavit? I said, for $900, this guy will do anything. Signs the affidavit. She moves. How many know? Before you start suing people, you ought to pray about it. It could be that obstacle that's in your way is actually the head is not ready to move yet. Amen. The head is not ready to move yet. And the final thing we see that functions as a head, receives information, makes decision, initiates action, and coordinates all the other activities of the body. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living God and true God, and to what? Wait for his Son from heaven. There is a four-letter word that most Christians It's the word wait. Wait. Somebody says, how do I stay connected to the head? You wait on God. You wait on him. About 2.5-3 years ago, I had to make some major decisions. There were three major decisions. Three prayer requests I had sent to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need your help on these three things. Now, I had gotten some guidance on all three of them. And immediately, right out of God's word, he spoke to me about the first one, and it contradicted all counsel I had received. And I believed all that counsel was sound counsel, was good counsel, but it was not God's counsel. About 3 months later, the second answer came, and it was not what I wanted to hear. And it was not what everybody had counseled me to do. And so now I've gotten the answer to both, two of my three requests. They all contradicted what everyone told me to do. And the third one, I have never gotten an answer to. And it is perhaps the most important of them all, because its ramifications affect my life. You say, well, what have you done? Nothing. What are you going to do? Nothing. I'm going to wait. Now, I've had family members pressure me. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And I say, yeah, in the natural, you are absolutely right. But I have not heard that. And in many ways, it contradicts something I heard from the Lord years ago. Isn't it something, the battles we fight up here? All spiritual battles are fought in one arena. It's the mind. But the beautiful thing is when we get rid of our mind, so to speak, and put on the mind of Christ. Amen. I've had dozens of people come to me and say, you know, Brother Heber, we just think that we should leave this church and go to some other church. And it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. You know, you got people leaving two very similar churches, two very similar pastors. There are no perfect pastors, but, you know, it's all this dancing and jumping around and church hopping. And but, you know, I'm not, you know, this is not communism. You can go where you want. But I always say this to them. You don't go to the church of your choice. You go to the church of God's choice, because he plants us. He plants us. The Bible says we're planted in the house of the Lord. And if we're planted, we will thrive. It says we'll flourish in the courts of God. So I said, you know, if God has planted you here, are you sure you want to go someplace else? I said, here's what I want you to do. Wait on the Lord. And if he doesn't tell you to do anything, then you just don't do anything. How many times I've seen people, they get mad, they leave a church, they pluck their kids out of the church, and they may survive, they may transplant someplace else, but the kids don't make the trip. I'm a bit of a landscaper. I know a lot about transplanting plants and how to do that. And even when you know a lot about it, they don't all make it. What we need to do is to wait. I remember one evening, I preached a great sermon. Oh, it was so good. I wanted to stop, take notes on myself. You know what I mean? I mean, it was one, you know, like Pastor Ron says, sometimes we, you know, we just get in, get out, nobody gets hurt, and that's good. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just preach duds, and sometimes they're vanilla. You know what I mean? Other times, whoo, you're just knocking them out of the park. And this was a grand slam. Here is my text, Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Here is my 3 points. We start our life's journey by flying here and flying there. We mount up with wings of eagles because we think flying is the fastest way to get somewhere. But I got a faster way than flying. Running with God. It says they'll mount with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be faint. And I talked about how Elijah outran the chariots of Ahab. I mean, it was great. But I said, there's a faster way than running. You know what that is? It's walking with God. And I talked about all the men and the women who have walked with God. I said, there is no faster way to get from point A to point B than walking with God. He'll walk in us. He'll talk in us. He'll be our God. We'll be his people. Oh, man, you should have been there. Altar was filled. Power of God fell. I'm on the way home, and I'm like talking to the Lord like, all right, yeah, I did all right. Yeah, man, I did all right. You know, I delivered my soul. And the Lord said, you forgot the last point. I said, no, I got them all. Flying, running, walking. It was classic. It was just amazing. Now, there's one more point. So what's that, Lord? He said, waiting. The fastest way to get anywhere is to wait. I said, that is the context of the text, right? They that wait upon the Lord. I said, Lord, how did I miss that? He said, you were so excited to preach it, you left the study right before I was going to give it to you. They that wait. How many of you are in a hurry? Wait. How many want to really get something done? Wait. I tell you, if you'll wait before you buy a car, you'll always get the best situation. If you wait to buy anything, you know, today and today only, if you switch from cable to satellite, you will save all this money. Ah, I think I'll wait. Oh, if you buy this today, You know, did you ever buy something on Amazon? It says, there's only two left. There's only two left. What a joke. As soon as those two are left, they put two more in there. Did you ever notice that a car lot always has a lot full of cars? People talk about shortages. There's no shortages. I mean, as soon as they take a car off the lot, they put another one back on there. This whole thing of being pressured to buy now is for people who are not connected to the head. Amen. I remember I went in to buy a suit one time, and this suit was really expensive. And, I want it. I said, I can't spend that much on one suit. I just can't do it. And I left and went over to the food court, which is my favorite place in the mall. And my wife, she and I, we divide and conquer. You know, she shops and I eat. So I'm in the food court, and she comes by and she says, hey, did you see that suit place? You always look at suits. She said, they're putting up big signs in there. Going out of business. This is the same day. I go in, I bought the suit that I was not going to pay for, and I bought five other ones for less than I was going to buy that one. How many know it pays to go to the mall with your head on? Stand with me, would you please? It's time. It's time to get our heads back on. Did you ever hear somebody say, man, you're losing your head. You're just losing your head. You know, Larry the cable guy, he tells a story about he was in Walmart and guy had one of those neck braces on, you know, with all the, you know, the metal contraptions. So the guy goes, hey, because I left my keys out in the car. And the guy goes, yeah, you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached to you. But you know, that's what happens. We lose our head because it's not attached to us. Father, help us, Lord, to stay connected to the head. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. At the entrance of thy word, there is light. Lord, faith is not a leap in the dark. It is a leap in the light. It is knowing what we're to do. May all our information, may the primary source of our information be from your thoughts and not our thoughts. For your thoughts are better than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. I thank you, Father, that the wisdom of men is the foolishness of God. But Lord, I thank you that we have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maury?